Well, let me introduce our speaker today, which Dick Van Ankeren got us today to speak. Christopher Willis is owner of Georgia Fence Scapes, a family-owned and operated business serving the North Georgia area. Chris is married to Kristen, who works for North Point Ministries as an event coordinator for the Fostering Together program. They live in Dressage and have four boys: Noah, assistant pro at Windermere Golf Club; Owen, a sophomore at Mississippi State University; Connor, a sophomore at West Forsyth High School; and Kyle, a seventh grader at Vickery Middle School. Chris grew up in Connecticut. He graduated from Springfield College and moved to Georgia in 2005. So, Chris, come on up here and tell us your life story. So, yay.
So, a few days ago, I was actually at my father-in-law's house. So, Dick is my father-in-law. And we were sitting on the back porch, actually talking about a fence project that we're getting ready to do at his house. And he said, "I have got an opportunity for you." And I thought, we're going to sit behind home plate at the Braves game or something.
This is better.
This is as good. And I said, well, I love breakfast as much as I love the Braves. So I'm glad to be here. So thank you. So when I asked him, I said, all right, well, what do I need to talk about? He said, well, just, you know, share your career path and, you know, your story. And I started thinking, well, when I think about a path, I think about a very, you know, clear path you just kind of walk down and it's laid out for you. And so when, in terms of a career path, you know, I thought of, like, well, there's lawyers, there's doctors, there's professional athletes, military careers. And then I started thinking about my own career and I'm like, this may not be a very exciting story. But the other type of path is really more of what my path is like. And, you know, I kind of just, path kind of just formed as I went along. I actually, my first job, I was 13 years old. My father thought I should have a paper route, not just one, not just two, but three paper routes, actually. So having 30 papers to deliver wasn't enough. He rounded up to almost 100 papers to deliver. And he helped, and, you know, but anyway, so I tell you that not because, I mean, a paper route's not a glorious career, but I did start learning to work at a very young age. My first job, my first real job that I went and got and, you know, was not working for my dad or something, was I was actually a janitor in a nursing home. It's not the most glamorous job, but when I look back, it's probably one of my favorite jobs. Not because I like mopping floors or taking out trash, but the people that lived in the nursing home were some of the most interesting people I've ever met. One in particular, he was a very quiet man, but for some reason, when I would go into his room, he was very comfortable in talking. And so I would actually get not in trouble, but I would... If they were looking for me, they would come to his room because they could usually find me there. But he was a survivor in a from a concentration camp, and the stories he would tell were just captivating. And so I look back on my career path, and that particular job was one that now I look back and I'm like, that's probably one of my favorite jobs of all time because of just the people that I got to talk with. I didn't really start... When I got to college, I had a goal, and so that was really the first time that I started on a path that I was trying to follow to get to the end goal. I went to Springfield College in Massachusetts. Springfield College, if any of you know basketball, is considered the birthplace of basketball. I believe the stadium basketball is Joe Naismith Stadium, and so it was a very sports-oriented college. And I entered into a major that was basically it was sports physiology, exercise physiology. So my plan, my hope, my dream at the time was to follow a track to work with athletes. And my end goal was to get an internship and hopefully a job with the United States Olympic Committee. In 1996, when they introduced mountain bike racing in the Olympics here in Atlanta, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in the Olympics. Unfortunately, I didn't have the I didn't have the genetics to be that good of an athlete. So I thought, well, how great would it be to work with athletes? So I set myself on a path to become a strength and conditioning coach. And my goal, my hope was to become, you know, an employee, a trainer with the Olympic Committee. I made it to the final two, and unfortunately I did not get the internship. So in terms of my career path, I kind of hit a wall. Didn't work out the way I had hoped. And so in the particular major that I was in, really everybody in that major pretty much just went on to be a more or less a personal trainer of some sort, whether it with a strength conditioning coach or a personal trainer working in, you know, commercial fitness, whatnot. So I quickly realized I didn't want to do that. That wasn't what my hope and dream was. So the career path kind of fell apart, so to speak. But in college, I met my wife, Kristen, Dick's daughter. And after graduating college, I moved back home for a very short period of time and realized I didn't want to work for my dad landscaping. My dad was a small business owner. And as much as I loved working for him, it just wasn't what I wanted to do. He had hopes that I would stick around and sort of take over the family business. But as much as I loved working outdoors and working in landscaping, it just wasn't what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be. So I moved to New Jersey to be closer to Kristen, who I was dating at the time. And I took a job working in sporting goods retail, specifically a bicycle store. Some family friends had opened up a new business, and they needed somebody who understood that world, the cycling world, to help manage it. And so I moved down there, got that job, had a blast. 5 years into that, the business just wasn't thriving. Hopefully not because of my management skills. It just didn't go as well as they had planned, so they decided to shut it down. And around that time, Kristen and I were starting our family. We had actually the day that I found out that they were going to shut the business down. I went home. It was close to Christmas time, and Kristen and I basically told her what I had learned that day about, you know, the business shutting down and my last day being Christmas Eve day. And then she decided to tell me that she was also pregnant with our second son. So I thought, well, Merry Christmas. So that started a 13-year career in the bicycle industry. You know, after that business shut down, I stayed in the business. It was around that time that we decided to move to Georgia. We flew down here on a whim, looked for some apartments. I had three interviews, got two job offers pretty quick. And we kind of leap of faith, loaded up a moving truck and moved to Georgia. I remember getting my first paycheck. We're standing on the back porch of our apartment, and I looked at her and I was like, well, we can either pay the rent or we can eat. It was that tight. But nonetheless, it was the start of a pretty awesome adventure. I would stay in the bicycle industry for 13 years, and then I would just get to a point where I originally got into it because I love cycling. I grew up racing mountain bikes and dirt bikes, and that was just what I was passionate about. And then when you work in an industry that you start out as a hobby, so to speak, eventually you get to a point where you start to not love it as much. And so I just got to a point where I was like, you know what, I just need to do something else. No idea what I was going to do. I ended up working at Browns Ridge Church. I became the facilities director there. So basically my job there was to oversee the building, all aspects of the building and the operation side of things. I am not a pastor, but a lot of behind the scenes stuff, just keeping the building going. And that was a great job. So all that sounds really, really good. The problem is, and I wouldn't say a problem, but my career path took kind of a behind-the-scenes detour, and it started right around the time that we moved to Georgia. So from 2007 to 2017, my life took a pretty dark detour, and 2007 would mark the beginning of that time. as we all know, detours are setbacks. They kind of cause you to go a roundabout way to get to where you're trying to go. But I am a recovering alcoholic, and that was a big part of my story, and that is the detour of my life. I used to hate the word alcoholic. It took me a while to grow to just accept that. I felt like there were a lot of just stereotypes that came along with it, and I hated saying the word. I used to hate going to AA meetings and using that terminology, but as time went on and I started to learn a lot about myself, it became a lot easier. So the negative impact of my addiction, it was a slow and seemingly almost you couldn't even sense the destruction that it was having. It was a very slow and progressive one. My struggles with alcohol, the addiction, eventually had me drinking as early as 8 in the morning. I almost killed my son and I in a car accident down in Florida when we were on a father-son trip. Embarrassed myself and my family. I actually passed out in the woods, which resulted in a missing persons search late at night. And to top it all off, I got arrested for public drunkenness. Now, I got arrested for public drunkenness when I worked at the church. So most employers don't like when you get arrested, but churches really don't like when you get arrested. So, but in 2017, I took, I guess what you could say, a path less traveled by some people that struggle with alcohol, and I went and actually got some help with the help of my family, who has stayed, always been supportive of me. It wasn't something that was easy to fix, and I still struggle today. I mean, it's a daily battle. But in 2017, I went to an inpatient rehab facility. I spent 3 months there away from my family with virtually no contact with them. That was very hard to do. In fact, I didn't want to do it, but it was either lose my family or figure this out. So, and it didn't even take, it wasn't just 3 months. I actually would, after being there for 3 months, I would do well for about a year and then just continue to struggle. And then I'd actually go back to another facility for a month. I call it a tune-up, they say. And then even after that, I would spend another 3 months doing an intensive outpatient program. And a lot of it was just learning about my past, learning what drove me to do the things I did. And I continue to this day to, you know, work on myself and go to counseling and whatnot. So in 2018, I participated in a men's study group called Wise Guys. Some of you may, I don't know if Dick spoke about the group, but I was part of a, I guess it was a pilot study, so to speak, for the curriculum. And there was, I think, 8 or 10 men. We would meet once a week, and we would study the Book of Proverbs together. In that group was a friend of mine named Tim. I remember one morning Tim actually came to the meeting, and you know, every week we would share kind of what was going on in our lives and highs and lows and prayer requests. And Tim actually shared with us that he had lost his job, and he had been in a career for a long time. And I think the losing of that job kind of rocked his world, and he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. So Tim actually started staining fences just to make money, which led to repairing fences, which led to him becoming so busy in the fence business that he had no idea what he was going to do. Like, he was like, this is not what I expected. I started doing this just to make ends meet while I figured out what I wanted to do. So Tim was actually doing a large job for a friend of mine named Brett. Brett owns a lot of land nearby off Frick's Road and has horses and other animals and needed a lot of cattle fence and stuff put in. So Tim was actually working at Brett's house and was sharing with Brett, who's also a small business owner, entrepreneur, was just sharing with him some of the ups and downs and highs and lows of what he was dealing with. And at that time, I had been let go from the church, didn't know what I was going to do, was pretty lost. I mean, was pretty devastated, embarrassed, and just lost in what I wanted to do. Now I look back, and I loved working outdoors. I loved landscaping. I loved working with my dad. I always loved the idea of building stuff. And so Brett and Tim were talking, and Brett said to Tim, "You should talk to my friend Chris." Well, Tim and I had met already in the Wise Guys group, and so Tim said, "Well, I know Chris," and Tim just didn't know my situation at the time. And so Tim and I met for breakfast one morning, and we started talking, and I went to work for Tim, and for 2.5 years I learned about the fence industry, and I quickly fell in love with it. I love working with people. I love projects. I love project managing. I love landscaping. And you know, fence building is really a combination of landscape construction and whatnot. And so as we grew that business, you know, things got more and more, you know, successful in the business. And he would actually earlier this year announce in January that he was moving to South Carolina, which kind of shocked me because I had no idea. I was on this impression that we were growing this business together and things were moving forward, and I was really excited about where it was going. And so when we met, I was like completely caught off guard and wasn't sure how this was going to work. And so my family and my wife, she have always encouraged me to consider working for myself. And so I thought, well, my dad, I've always admired my dad for what he's done. I know the business pretty well. I love working with people. And I feel like people respond well to me. So I kind of felt like if I didn't try this now, I was going to regret it. And my wife really encouraged me to step out and try it. So Tim and I had talked, and I didn't really know how this was going to work. He wanted to keep the business going. He wanted me to sort of run it. I was like, well, I'm going to take on a lot more responsibilities, and I'm going to almost be an owner. So back in May, I started taking the steps to get my LLC, get all my ducks in a row, so to speak. And then in early June, I officially went out on my own and formed Georgia Fencescapes. We're a small family-owned business. We build fences, we replace fences, we repair fences, we stain them. And it was a very, very challenging and difficult step to take because, you know, I look back on my past and a big part of why I turned to alcohol for comfort was I was very insecure, scared, didn't think I was deserving of things like owning a business and having success. And so to do this, my anxiety levels have been quite high. But it's a good feeling. It's a motivating, it's an exciting feeling. We're having fun. My son Connor, he actually said to me, he's like, "Dad, do I have to finish high school or can I just come and work for you?" I said, "No, you need to finish high school." I've learned a lot over, you know, my life. And I'm 48 years old. My setback with alcohol took 10 years. I'd say it took 10 years of my career path away. I'm 48 now. If I could go back and be where I am at the age of 38, you know, I would just be in a much different spot. You know, my business, if I had started it 10 years ago, would be hopefully doing very well. But I try not to dwell on that. I'm grateful to be where I'm at today. I've learned that sometimes, especially for someone like me, you got to take a few steps backward in order to ever hopefully move forward. And so that's what happened with me. I had to take a pretty big step back and get some help, get healthy, figure out a lot of things. So and I continue to do that. So my goal, my dream right now for my business, so like I said, we're a very small business right now. Aside from just financial growth and success and supporting my family and our life and putting my kids through school, if I could fast forward in my mind 2 years from now, I have a heart for men that struggle, because I'm the one that does and did. As many of you have heard of No Longer Bound. So No Longer Bound is one of a lot of programs around. They're local to us. They have a 4-phase program, and in phase 3 of the program, the men in the program actually go out and learn a vocation. And a lot of the men that struggle with alcohol, not all, I mean, I realize that, but a lot of the men that end up in this program are equipped to maybe learn a skill like automotive repair, landscaping, and like I said before, I consider fence building an extension of landscaping, so landscape construction is what it is. My goal 2 years from now is to, if they'd have me, or and it could be another program similar, would be to be a partner with a program like that, where men who are in that program can work for me while they're going through that. I was sharing that with somebody who said, well, wouldn't you be worried that, you know, somebody like yourself, all of a sudden you taught them all this stuff and then they went out and started their own business and competed with you? And I said, that's fine. There's a lot of fences in the area. There's a lot of business in this area. We live in a very fortunate area. Now, what would fill my heart up would be if somebody from that program worked for me, worked with me, learned something that they love, and figured out a way to turn their life around. So, any questions?
So you were going to go through a list of what you've learned?
That was, so the two things I came up with, I mean, I've come up with a lot. One would be, you know, sometimes you have to take a couple steps back to move forward. The other one, the big one for me is that, and I'm sure you've heard the phrase, darkness always finds the light. It does. I'm a big believer in that. The deepest, darkest part of my addiction, I was a master manipulator. I could hide it. You never would have guessed it. I was a very functioning alcoholic, but it caught up with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I shared about the accident. I still to this day don't know how I got away scot-free from that accident. I never got in trouble with the law. I have
you
a son.
You were on TV.
I was on TV. Helicopters overhead.
Wow.
My son and I actually hit a off-ramp barrier, causing us to flip 2 or 3 times, and we landed upright, thankfully, in a retention pond full of water. I actually had partially blacked out, so my son had to, at the time was 13. Yeah, we had gone on a father-son trip. We had my wife and I had this plan to do like a father-son trip at the age of 13 when they turned 13. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not in a healthy spot there, and I really do believe God's angels were around us. There's so many parts of that story that point in that direction. I guess what I was getting at there is, because I didn't get in trouble with the law, because him and I walked away virtually without any injuries, I had actually convinced my family that I had not been drinking. So I was ready to take that to my grave. But it ate away at me for months, and eventually would be a big part of why I went to rehab the first time.
Any other questions?
Going back to your past, mm-hmm. You still riding?
Now, lately, just in the past 6 months, every time I'm out there, it's funny, I used to ride on the road all the time and never even thought twice about, you know, being one of those cyclists that takes up the whole road. Now I go out and I drive and I'm like, man, I was a pain in the butt. I find myself getting mad at the very thing I was. But I do like right now, like if I had a mountain bike, I would love to have a mountain bike and have the extra time to go and just ride it.
I bought myself a mountain bike for my 60th birthday, planning to get back in shape and do a little more riding, and it's still hanging.
That's my fear.
I probably
it's just going to be an expensive decoration in my garage. No, I don't. I wish I did, but you know, and in starting the business, I'm learning. That's a lot.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Thank you,
Chris. Thank you.
Thank you. Great sharing. There's a lot of similarities in Chris's story and my story, and I think there is in a lot of our stories when we hear somebody share like that. I share in my little story here, Life Worth Living. I was 33 years old before I stopped drinking, and I actually went to a meeting, a Christian meeting, where some men prayed for me afterwards, and I had this experience of falling down, and when I picked myself off the ground, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "You'll never want to drink again," March 3rd, 1984. And unless you've experienced the bondage that Chris shared and I was in, you have no idea what kind of miracle that is. But God never gives up on us. I think one of the, and I know Mike Harden at No Longer Bond. He's a good friend of mine, and so it's that's an amazing story. And you know, darkness finds the light, and also you have to take some steps backwards to move forward. Sometimes those are good conclusions. And the other thing is, I believe your partnership with your wife is not only powerful but biblical. And my wife and I have that same relationship. She's actually the VP of finance at our company, and if I don't do right, she won't pay me. So, but I'm not sure you've got that. But anyway, so. but there's power in that, and I think sometimes, you know, we're taught to be macho men, and we know what's right, and what do our wives know? And those of you who've tried that know it doesn't work very long. But but anyway, there's great, amazing productivity and power if you can be in harmony with your wife on something. It doesn't have to be starting a company or whatever, but that's a great word. And then your transparency. I think, you know, and I'm not suggesting you all stand up and, you know, give me your story here, but if you ever want to, feel free to do so. In fact, maybe one of these days you can share at the Norcross luncheon because a lot of that is not necessarily related to alcohol, but it is transparency in life and how life is not always a box of chocolates, right? Who said that? Forrest. St. Forrest, I can't even say Forrest. Anyway, thank you so much, Chris, for sharing that. And yes, Dick?
Can I give an advertisement?
Sure, an advertisement, okay.
Chris mentioned the group Wise Guys.
Oh, yeah, you've got your...
I lead a group of men on Wednesday nights in the study of wisdom. And we meet every Wednesday night at the Vine Community Church. And you're welcome to come. I'm an author of two books. The first one is A Complete Guide to Godly Wisdom, which is about Proverbs. And then I brought a copy of my second book, which is called So What Wisdom. And the men meet, and we, every Wednesday night, do a Bible study. And if you want to be a part of it, you're welcome to come. We're always welcoming others.
Awesome.
Chris is a regular attender, too. Good. All right.
And I think I put that on the website. There are there's a section called Other Links or Other Meetings, and I'll put it in the email flyer that I send out after this. Any other thoughts or announcements or go dogs or how about them jackets or no? Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming. What a great meeting, and thank you again, Chris, for your sharing, and Dick for connecting us. So have a little more fruit or bacon there, and we'll hope to see you next time. The next one is November, I think November 19th or 16th or so. So thank you. Okay, great.